Listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to Thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. I'd like to read today from Isaiah chapter 42. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith the Lord God, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoner from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing, let them shout from the top of the mountains, let them give glory unto the Lord, and declare his praise in the islands. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time holden my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a trailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herbs. I will make rivers islands. I will dry up the pools. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images, that say to the images, ye are our gods. Hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Seeing many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but he heareth not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. Reading the first 21 verses of Isaiah chapter 42. Our Father in heaven, we come to thee through Christ. We come asking in his name that we might have understanding of these blessed words. We give thee thanks for them. We give thanks for this prophecy of thyself, Lord Jesus. We give thanks for having the word when others do not have it. We give thanks for the freedom to worship thee and to make this message known. We pray that that freedom may continue when others have had it taken away. And we pray also that we may use it for thy glory and for our own and others' good while we have it, that we may redeem the time, knowing the days are evil. We think of thy word through Paul to Timothy to pray for kings and for those in authority over us, that we might lead a quiet and a peaceable life. Thou hast said thou wouldst have all men to be saved. Help us to see that those in authority can be and must be saved, as well as those in lower places, all men between as well. We pray, Father, for thy blessing on those who need thy healing hand in sickness, those that are homeless, those that are in hunger, those that are in sorrow, those that are suffering in war-torn lands, all these different calamities. We pray for broken homes. We pray that they might be healed and the children in those homes might be taught and kept by thee. We ask, Father, for other needs that there are, whatever they may be, in sickness and injury, those that must go through life bearing pain and weakness. We pray that they might have grace to bear under it, and those that will soon meet thee in death, that they might be prepared for that hour through Christ. We ask all these things and give thanks in his name. Amen. We have been considering the message that Isaiah gave concerning Christ, Isaiah 53, we might call it a gospel message, a suffering servant, also a call to repentance, a call describing us so plainly. In the first part of that 53rd chapter, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He is despised, and we esteemed him not. That's you and me in our natural condition. That's you and me as we are before God quickens us together with Christ. We are, as the Ephesians were described, you who were dead in sins, walking according to the course of this world, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation. And this is the conversation that we have concerning Christ. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. It's true that there are those who want to make Christ as they want him or as they think of him. Even the Jews were looking for a Messiah to deliver the nation. There were men sorrowful on the day of resurrection, right after the crucifixion, that said, we thought it would be he that would deliver Israel. Many will look for such ones. We read in the beginning of the Gospel of John that when they saw these miracles, they believed on him. And he said to others, you seek me not because of the miracles, but because of the loaves. We have all these different ones believing in a certain way. One sad and very marked place, John chapter 8. He spoke of them, of himself being lifted up. And then we read when they heard these words, they believed on him. But when he told them that they must continue in the word, be his disciples, be set free, they wouldn't hear of it. They said, we are not in bondage. They would not hear of their sin. Before we have this gospel here in Isaiah 53, we are told of our sin, yours and mine. The last part of verse 2, when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. How long, if you're a Christian, did you go through life without seeing beauty in him, without desiring him? It was 28 years for me. I did keep his birth, his crucifixion, the resurrection, Good Friday, all those different days of commemoration, historic faith. But I didn't know I needed him to die for me, to be made a curse for me. And as the scripture tells us, cursed is everyone that continueth not in the book of the law to do those things that are commanded. Paul writes that plainly to the Galatians, right after he spoke of that to Abram was the gospel preached. God saying to Abram, in thee or in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And then he says, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham, for as many as are under the work of the law are under the curse. For it is written, everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, cursed. God can curse us. We're under God's wrath. And that's why Christ came. That's why he became the suffering servant that is spoken of in Isaiah 53. But here in Isaiah 42, we also have the message given just a little bit ahead in Isaiah's prophecy. The first verse, behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. In this chapter, we see many different ways in which God shows himself. In the second verse, he shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. He deals in patience in the next verse, verse 3. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he bring forth judgment unto the Gentiles. That can be thinking of one person, but it can be thinking all the way from the beginning of the world, Adam, Abel, Noah, Abraham, and others as well, all being taught, and sometimes waited for in patience, waiting till they come as lost sinners, and then looking to Christ, being reconciled with God, being forgiven for sin, being adopted into God's family. During that time of God's teaching, we often like a bruised reed. I remember my neighbor one time. His wife was seeking the Lord, very troubled, and it almost made him stand, as it were, aloof. He didn't like even the things that I gave to her to listen to or to read, and he would just kind of look the other way, and you could tell it wasn't to his liking. And then one day I came, and the best way I could describe him is he looked like a flat tire. He said, "Something happened here," laying his hand on his heart. God had struck him. He became a bruised reed. But as Isaiah said 700 years before Christ, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he bring forth judgment unto truth." Again, going back to that verse in John chapter 8, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Christ is doing that himself. He exhorts us to read the word, to believe the word, to hear the word, but he himself is doing what we read here. "A bruised reed shall he not break." He is the good shepherd, getting the sheep out in the wilderness, laying it on his shoulder, as he pictures himself in John chapter 15, picture of a shepherd with a sheep, but it's a picture of Christ, a type of Christ, and he is carrying that sheep, but along the way we may believe, teaching it, humbling it, as one said, thinking of that portion of scripture, laying it over his shoulder with his head hanging down, down in repentance, but all the time continuing. He tells us to continue, and we may not do it. But if he sets his mind, if he has one, as he said, John chapter 6, verse 37, "All the Father giveth me shall come, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." He will take that sheep, he will teach it, and he will save it. After he had been with Zacchaeus, he said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Not just seek, to save that which was lost. There's a song, "Jesus Saves." Sometimes people have stickers on their car, "Jesus Saves." Some people believe he only tries to save. It's up to us. And if we don't let him, some people even say, God is powerless. I've heard it from evangelists, well-known evangelists. But he does save. If he didn't save, I wouldn't be saved. I went through a period of time thinking I did it. But that's nothing more than the shallow ground. That's nothing more than what we read a few moments ago from Isaiah 53. He is despised and rejected of men. Yes, the kind of Savior that we think he is, one that agrees with us, one that gives us honor, thinks he receives what we do. But all of that is sin. All of that is sin. That's one thing I learned when he was teaching me. I'm nothing but a sinner that can do nothing but sin. That includes the law and the gospel. Christ said one of the first things the Spirit would do when he would come, recorded in John chapter 16, just before his death, speaking these words to his apostles. He said, "When the Spirit comes, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment, of sin because they believe not on me." Many would acknowledge, well, we don't keep the law. Not everybody, but some would acknowledge that. Sadly, many don't. But they think, I will receive the gospel. I will accept Christ. Yes, on our own terms, without the repentance needed, without the humbling needed. And when I say without the repentance needed, that's not a work. It's something God gives with Christ. Christ is described by Peter as one to give repentance unto Israel and forgiveness of sins, to give repentance. After Peter had gone to Cornelius, he came back. Some of the Jews didn't like it that he went to the Gentiles, and they admonished him. And by the time he rehearsed the whole matter, said what God had done, what God had taught Cornelius, they said, then hath God granted unto the Gentiles repentance unto life. God did it. God called Cornelius. God gave Peter the vision. God did it all. Not just gave his son. Gave his spirit as well. Gave his word, which without the spirit would be refused. By the spirit, we can be made to receive it. And to receive this. Just think of the different pictures in here of God and of Christ. The one we've just been mentioning, he shall not cry nor lift up nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he bring forth judgment unto truth. Seemingly, God is quiet. But listen. Verse 14 of the same chapter. I have long holden my peace, I have been still, and refrain myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I would destroy and devour at once. The same God, the same Savior Christ. The verse just before that, verse 13. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. All that is there. All of it is true concerning him. Different times, different ways. One day, he who is the Lamb of God, as John the Baptist described him, and other scriptures give that message to us. But in the book of Revelation, we read about the wrath of the Lamb. If you don't believe him today, as he is, as he reveals himself in Scripture, and that includes those words that we quoted, all that the Father giveth me shall come. You don't give yourself to Christ. God gives him to Christ. Christ died for that such a sinner. Christ teaches such a sinner. Christ will receive such a sinner, because the Father gives him. Other scriptures as well. Romans 9. He shows mercy to whom he will, and whom he will he hardens. Many people say, oh, I don't believe a God like that. No, you probably don't. Then you don't believe the God of the Bible. Read Romans 9. God is speaking. Paul is speaking of God. All those scriptures, solemn scriptures, yes, they may sound far different than John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. One of the most well-known verses of Scripture, particularly the most well-known of the New Testament. Christ spoke those to Nicodemus, but what else did he say? There he is saying, God so loved. And yes, he does say, whosoever believeth on him shall not perish. Up to the time of believing, we are perishing. You were born a perishing sinner. Many don't teach that. The Jews didn't believe that. Children of Abraham. And many take that same teaching today and want to apply it to themselves and to their children. God's wrath is on all of us, as Paul said to the Ephesians, on us even as on others. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Where you were born doesn't change that. Unless you are born again, there's no hope for you. God must change that by His Spirit. And Christ is describing Himself those ways that the Spirit will do. Verse 6 of this 42nd chapter, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. And then listen what He'll do. To open the blind eyes. Christ can open them. We can shut them. But we want to open them. Not any more than Adam. When he heard the voice of the Lord God, he hid himself among the trees. Verse 18 of the same chapter, hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that you may see. He can make the deaf hear. He can make the blind look. He can give us ears to hear. All of it is in Christ's hand. But going back for a moment to John chapter 3, it isn't just those words, God so loved the world. He said, this is the condemnation, saying it also to Nicodemus in that same context, saying it to us as well. Verse 19 of John chapter 3. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. He doesn't say some men. He doesn't say a few men. He simply says, men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. And if you would want to try to make that say some men, but not you, then listen to the next verse. That includes you. You. Have you learned it? Verse 20 of John chapter 3. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You and I have done evil. I've mentioned before how a young boy once said to the rest of us, that's evil. And we laughed him to scorn. But we were evil. And all of us are evil until God changes us through Christ.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.